outside up to challenge tonight, closing ground third. It's Temtem on the rail, Key to the Mint between horses and tonight. Here's the finish. Key to the Mint, up to win it by one length. Braulio Baez aboard.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
Racing has been busy this summer, and it's about to get a lot busier locally and nationally. Thanks for joining us on Off to the Races. You heard there in the opening, Key to the Mint, one of five of Rokeby Stables, Paul Mellon, that is, winners of the Traverse Stakes, Arts and Letters in 69, Quadrangle in 64, Java Gold in 1987, Sea Hero in 93, and Key to the Mint 50 years ago. Prominent Virginia breeder and horseman Paul Mellon won the Traverse Stakes. He won it five times. And another exciting one today that features the Derby winner and the Preakness winner, among others, and a very and the runner-up, of course, with having a mental moment already in the show. Usually that those don't happen till later. Epicenter, how could I forget that name, who ran second in both of those runnings. So we'll talk a lot about the Travers later on in the show with Derby Bill Watson handicapping a very busy Saratoga card. 78 degrees and clearing conditions with a north wind of 5 miles an hour at Saratoga today. Weather not a factor. In fact, I don't think you could come up with better weather at Saratoga today. On today's show, we'll speak with the leading rider at Colonial Downs, currently Heavy in Toledo. He had a big night and a busy week, and we'll talk to him in about 15 minutes here on Off to the Races. Darrell Wood is just around the corner, and Frank Vespi, who hosts the Signal at Timonium. They had their opening day at the Maryland State Fair. Bill Reitler will join Frank Vespi, Living the Dream. The director of racing at Timonium will be Frank's guest on the Living the Dream segment in about 30 minutes. Just a busy, busy weekend of racing. The nominations for the Virginia Derby are now out. So Colonial Downs, just with 2 weeks of racing left in the season, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the meet at Colonial Downs, brought to you by Woodford Reserve. Post time 1:45, good opportunity to catch up on some of the racing. Next week we'll have such a busy show. I will be up in Saratoga next week, so we'll see exactly how we're going to handle that show between Frank and I next week on Off to the Races. But let's get into this week's show. And last night we had Paul Espinoza on Off to the Races last week, and talking about the Charlestown Classic. They did draw a field of eight, which had the returning champion Art Collector in it. And this race, of course, very famous for repeat winners, or winners winning it twice. Last Samurai was in this group as well. Mind Control had John Velasquez, a real competitor in this race. But this is how Paul Espinoza called the Charlestown Classic replay.
Art Collector and Muad'Dib are the two that go on with it now, and Boca Chica starts to get after Muad'Dib. Art Collector and Luis Saez sitting chilly midway around the turn. Art Collector starts to move away from Muad'Dib. Officiating is moving in with Mind Control, who swings wide. One furlong to go. Art Collector tears off the turn, moves away by four. Muad'Dib back in second. Officiating and Mind Control 16th to go, and it's another masterpiece for Art Collector. He goes back to back in the Charlestown Classic. He wins it by five,
officially four and a quarter, but an impressive score. Luis Saez delivering the win on Art Collector. Bill Mott, the winning trainer. Bruce Lunsford, the winning owner. Congratulations to those connections, even though they did not fool anybody. Only $3 for the win in that 8-horse field. But congratulations to those connections. I'm sure it was a fun night up at Charlestown. We'll actually talk a little more Charlestown when we speak with Hebby and Toledo here shortly. Today at Saratoga, they will also run the Alan Jerkin Stakes. This is features a horse that we've watched very closely here, especially after a win on August 1st in the Housebuster Stakes. Joe Rocco actually going to ride up at Saratoga today. He's up there to ride in the 7-furlong sprint race on the dirt. The Alan Jerkins, that race will go off a little bit before 4 o'clock. And he had a horse, Conniger, is his assignment. That's who won the Housebuster with Rocco aboard. Jason Beam called the Housebuster here at Colonial earlier this month, and this is how impressive Conniger was.
As Conniger turns for home in front, it's Conniger off the turn. Old Homestead excel in between horses, now back to third. Three more back to No Sabe Nada as Conniger has to make 3/16 of a mile more. Old Homestead on the outside, still 3/4 of a length back in the second position. No Sabe Nada trying to close in. Excel still battling on toward the inside. At the 16th pole, though, it's Conniger still in front. Conniger there a length and a half now. Old Homestead second. It's going to be Conniger to go on and win it here. Conniger back to his winning ways. Got it by 2 in the end.
Very impressive buyer for Conniger. The 3-year-old is really on a roll, especially coming out of Colonial. Good luck to those connections today, Michael Tomlinson and Joe Rocco, Patricia's Hope, and Mark Farrar, the owners of Conniger. Good luck today. They drew the rail in the Jerkins. We're going to come a little bit closer to home now with the racing at Colonial Downs, and we'll have the trainers provide a suitable welcome to the show.
Hey, this is trainer Phil Schoenthal at Colonial Downs. Just want to thank everybody for listening to the show and coming out and supporting, and we really appreciate the fans and the great crowd that we have at Colonial Downs. Love your support. Thanks for coming out.
My name is Carlos Munoz, and I'm pretty happy to stay here in Colonial Downs. It's my second year here, and I like it a lot here. Thank you.
Hey there, it's Ferris Allen. Sure would like to see your face out here at Colonial Downs, where we're having a good time every day.
Hi, this is Chris Block, trainer Chris Block at Colonial Downs, and I want to thank all the fans that come out and support racing and support my horses. And we've enjoyed the summer here, and look forward to the last couple weeks here of finishing out on a high note. So thanks to all, and look forward to seeing anybody in the future.
George Greger, welcome to Colonial Downs. Everybody should come out and have a good time.
George Gregory started a horse this week at Colonial Downs. Actually had the lead at the just coming out of the turn. Didn't hold up the rest of the way, but George Gregory won a race on Colonial's big opening day. That anniversary is just about 4 days away. Colonial Downs grand opening September 1st, 1997. It'll be 25 years on September 1st to the day that Colonial Downs opened this wonderful place. I failed to mention this morning, actually broadcasting from Colonial, where I got a chance to see Damon's Mound work, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Want to bring in Daryl Wood, who joins us now on Off to the Races. And Daryl, let's get in the mood with a little bit of music here.
You mean the Old Dominion, just southeast of heaven to the surf and the hills.
She is the best of 13 sisters and 37 more. Sweet, sweet Virginia always keeps an open door.
A turkey on its belly, a chicken on its back.
There we go. Good morning, Daryl.
My favorite song of all time, and it should be everybody's favorite song of all time, to live in the Old Dominion. So well done, Nick.
I think we need to look into that a little bit more. I like your idea. Man, this place needs a state song, doesn't it? I mean, it just needs a song, you know.
It does.
What do you think?
Hey, you talked, to get off subject, you talked about Conniger. And Mike Tomlinson, the trainer, he's been up from Kentucky the last 2 years with a stable in the Colonial Backstretch. Just great people. He was actually at the Squirrels game last Saturday with a small group of us, and his wife Vicky works in the Colonial Downs race office, but just very down-to-earth, grounded people. So really hope that he ends up in the winner's circle today with Conniger, and kudos and best luck to those guys.
Yeah, that would just be a great sight to see. It's Joe Rocco. That'd be huge for Joe Rocco, win a stake like that up at Saratoga. We're coming into the last 2 weeks of the meet. A little bit of a lull before the storm. Not much of a lull. These are great cards. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday coming up here. Just kind of going through them. A lot of interesting horses here. But then it really picks up next week with Virginia Derby. They're opening on Labor Day on Monday, basically like a weekend. If you haven't had a chance to come out to the meet, you don't have plans, what an opportunity to come out on Labor Day. And then, of course, Virginia Derby Day, and then all of those stakes races on closing day. You have five of them with the Meadow, the Camptown, the Bird Allen, the Nellie Mae, and the Jamestown. It's going to get real busy real quick around here, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, and we're going to put the field for the Virginia Derby together on Thursday, this coming Thursday, and the nominations for the Derby came out, and man, I'll tell you, it's Todd Pletcher's got a handful that he nominated, all quality horses. Graham Motion looks like he wants to keep his winning streak of Derby victories going. He's got a handful, all look impressive, and then Ken McPeak has got a couple million-dollar earners, and these are just three-year-olds. So there's some really nice potential, and looking forward to seeing what that field looks like. And also, you know, Derby Bill's favorite week of the year is this coming week because you got two breeds of racing and the stake going at the same time. Colonial Downs, you mentioned, goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Harness Racing starts up at the Shenandoah County Fair in Woodstock, Virginia, this coming Wednesday through Saturday. So for people like Derby, you can make a six consecutive day event out of it by going to Thoroughbred for 3 days and catch the last 3 days of Harness and just have a grand old time here in the Old Dominion.
That Harness meet is really special. I got a chance, obviously, to call those races. Shenatoga. It does. I'm going to go from Saratoga to maybe Shenatoga here this fall. You mentioned the Virginia Derby nominations. Yeah, Todd Pletcher, I think, has five horses nominated. Graham Motion has, I think, five as well. So Motion, of course, has had that odd title. He's won the last three runnings of this race, which have happened over 5 years in two different states. So he's on quite a roll here. He wants to win another one. But then you have like Ken McPeak with Classic Causeway nominated, as well as Tiz the Bomb, who might finally show up at Colonial Downs. I know Derby Bill's going to have some fun with me on that one later in the show. But and then you have Michael Stidham with Catnip, who has broke his maiden here with Abby and Toledo aboard. You have... what was the other one? Shug McGahee has two horses here. Here's a challenge for you. Shug McGahee has started, I think, nine horses here. How many races has he won?
I believe it's zero.
Zero. Can you believe that? Shug McGahee? I mean, that's
a number of seconds and thirds, I think, though, right?
Yeah. And, of course, he's very capable. He's won a Virginia Derby himself, of rising up and having a big day. But when I saw that earlier in the week, it just kind of took me aback. I was really surprised about that. What are some of the events still remaining in the week, in the meet, coming up?
Just to get everybody set for closing week. So we've got racing this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but then closing week kicks off on Labor Day. And this is fun because if you remember back in the old version of Colonial Downs, Labor Day at one point in, let's see, 98, 99, maybe 2000 was opening day, and that would be a crowd of 7,000-8,000 people. This is the first time since then that the track's been running on Labor Day, so that's going to be a fun day. Derby Day is the day after Tuesday, September the 6th, and on top of the five great stakes races, including the Derby, there's going to be $25,000 in cash given away through a series of $500 prize drawings after every race. Five $500 winners after each race. And then closing day, the very next day, five Virginia restricted stakes races. So it's going to be a power-packed closing week. It's free admission. Post time all 3 days is $145, and this is really last call for Thoroughbred racing for 2022. So we're expecting, big, big crowds all 3 days.
Yep, really looking forward to it. Racing this week is pretty ideal, 89 degrees on Monday with a 5 to 7 mile an hour wind. So we'll take that, no rain. Tuesday, just a chance of rain, a little bit warmer, 92. Wednesday, 91. They got air conditioning here inside and out, actually, with the tent at the top of the stretch here. So an opportunity to come out this week, only 2 weeks left. And then you can sort of get into football and, of course, the harness meet at Shenandoah.
Yeah, no, all good stuff. And, yeah, again, 2 weeks to go, and harness begins this week, so it's a fun time of year. And, hey, we even keep going with four steeplechase meets as we get into October and November. So lots to look forward to the rest of the year, Nick.
I just saw that credential request come through, too. Yep. Hey, thanks, Daryl. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got to have a good show.
Daryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races this morning. Want to bring in Heavy in Toledo. Let me just kind of set this up. Since Colonial Downs has opened, these are the leading riders for the meets. The jockey, the winning title holders for racing at Colonial Downs. It starts off with Edgar Prado. You have Mario Pino. Then you have Karamanis starting to appear. He's in and out of the list all the way through. Ryan Fogelsonger actually picked up a riding title. Rosemary Hohmeister, Super Sheldon Russell, Trevor McCarthy. That's pretty much it in terms of the leading riders at Colonial Downs. You look at the standings right now, and you can add Heavy in Toledo to the list. And he joins us now on Off to the Races. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, it's been a busy week for you. Let's maybe just start with the Robert Hilton Stakes yesterday up at Charlestown. Your only mount up at Charlestown last night in a week where you rode at Delaware, where you rode at Timonium, where you rode at Charlestown, and of course you rode at Colonial. But the Robert Hilton Stakes, your mount for Jerry Robb was a lot of hope. Congratulations on that win. Tell us about the race yesterday.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Very grateful. With Goss First, the one gave me the hold, and my agent for such a great job, and John Robb and Gina, you know, for the opportunity. Yeah, he's a really nice horse. I mean, it was a little bit tough race, you know, kind of step up because, you know, he win last time against Maryland Bred. Yesterday was kind of open race, and, you know, it looked like he's getting better and better. We break, get a little bit shuffled out of the gate, set behind, and, you know, they got... John Robb got the other horse, you know, kind of went to the front, kind of set the pace and kind of worked out everything good because, you know, I got the trip behind. And when I got the clear, I showed the whip to my horse and he picked it up right away.
Yeah, got a pretty easy win there. Almost three lengths on the wins, 660 for the win there with a lot of hope. So, yeah, congratulations on that win last night.
Thank you. Had
a very busy week and a very successful week here at Colonial Downs, where you won multiple times last week, picking up two wins on Monday, three wins on Tuesday, another two wins on Wednesday, seven wins for the week. That gives you 20 for the meet. You still have a two-win advantage over Lionel Reyes here. So despite just a great week that you had here at Colonial Downs, a little bit of competition still with you. But how's it feel to be the leading rider of the meet so far?
It feels great, to be honest. You know, I spoke with my agent from the beginning when we both see like a lot of riders coming from out of town, you know, we thought it was going to be a really tough meet. I mean, I told my agent, to be honest, hey, if I win one race a week, I would be happy. If I win, like, you know, we got 9 weeks meet, and I say, if I win 9 races, I would be really happy. And he told me, no, we're going to win 18. And right now we got 20 already, so we have a really, really good meet. I got to thank all the owners and trainers and all the employers in the barn for all the help that I get in this meet. Very happy with all the success we've been getting lately.
And you have got a lot of them. On Monday, This is, I have no idea what the scratch situation will be on Monday, but you actually have a mount in every race. 9 races on Monday's card, and you're in a horse in every one of them, an opportunity to ride 9 good ones perhaps on Monday. Are you looking forward to what's ahead for you this week? I know you're looking forward to Monday.
Oh, for sure. We have, like you say, 9 races, and hopefully we can win. I hope I can win all 9, but I know it's impossible. But, you know, I just hope the horse run good and everybody's happy. You know, the horses do their job. I try to do my best to win all the races that I can. I mean, never can win all the races, but, you know, I will be happy because the horses run good for me. And if we can win a couple more, will be nice, and hold on for the title will be really, really special for me as well, too.
Now, you're from Puerto Rico, just turned 28. Happy birthday, a little belated happy birthday. I saw you, it was your birthday last week. Just turned 28, started riding in 2013. I guess you were 18, 19 years old when you won your first race at Pimlico in the United States. You're from Puerto Rico. And, of course, we had Victor Carrasco on the show a while back, and he was trying to help me pronounce the name of the jockey school there. That I'm going to try it again. The Escola Vocacional HIPA. How did I do?
HIPA is like... That's the way we call them over there in Puerto Rico, you know, like the horse racing. But yeah, you got it. It's like a vocational school. I don't know how to say that, but you say it right. This HIPA. Yeah, you know, they do a really good job over there. I get out with Carrasco at the same time, and Manny Franco and Edgar Sayas and a lot of other good riders. They do a really good job over there with all of us, you know, not just with me. You know, you see Ida Ortiz, Jose, Franco, Johnny V, you know, like we all come from there, and they do a really, really good job.
Tell us just a little bit about yourself, you know, coming from Puerto Rico, coming here in 2013. Who did you look up to as, you know, who was your role model? Who did you want to be like when you first came to the United States to race? Who were some of the guys that helped you, and who are the guys you looked up to?
You know, when you get off in Puerto Rico, like, I do. We must look like Juan C. Diaz from there is basically the gold over there. You know, it's like John Velasquez here. And when you come here, you know, you just look up to Johnny. You know, Johnny is from Puerto Rico, and he's the gold. He's the great the whole time. Like, that's for sure. You know, no doubt about that. And then you start looking at Ida Ortiz as well. You know, he's killing it, and he's young like us, you know. I just try to be humble, stay quiet, and listen to everyone, not just one. You know, I listen to everyone, and, you know, I think you learn in this business, you learn every day, and you learn from every single one, not even just the old rider. You can learn from the young rider as well. You know, you just watch the races, and you see something they do, and just learn from that. You know, everybody told me, you know, every single rider at that time, they help me, and I just listen to them. I just try to practice and do my best.
You had you've ridden some Grade 3 winners: Divisadero, Misbehavior, who actually won the Charlestown Oaks. But earlier this week, you did have 7 wins this week. But one of the horses you rode was Ballyhoo Prince, who was 0-21, a horse for Patrick Noosh, a horse that I've seen many times out at the Braeburn Training Center in Crozet. And you got this horse to win for you this week. How good did it feel to win with Ballyhoo Prince, a horse that 0-21, maybe not on everybody's high hopes list in terms of producing a win, but you even got this horse to win this week.
Yeah, to be honest, he's a decent horse. He tried he tried all the time. I mean, he rode against decent horses. You know, he always hit the board. I mean, it wasn't an easy race this week. You know, it looked like a couple of decent horses in the same race. I was looking his races, like the last couple races, like he'd been going to the front and kind of stopped. And I tried to set behind, but he was really strong, so he kind of, you know, dragging me the whole backstretch, and we going kind of very slow. So by the half a mile, I just put my hands down. I just like let him run. I say, let's see, you know, if I can open up from here and try to hold on, because like I rode him a couple of times before, and he looked like I was, you know, like everybody waiting and waiting for the stretch, and he kind of like stay with the other horses. He don't want to go by. So I was like, let me try something different. Let me like move a little bit early and try to open up early, and let's see he like get big, you know, like he feel like getting bigger in front by himself, and that's what he did. You know, I move early and I open up early, and he get, you know, when he hit the front, he kind of like keep going. You know, he don't stay with the other horses like he been doing. So I think that kind of worked out good.
We started the interview. I listed all the winning jockeys of the meets, the leading riders for the meet at Colonial Downs. You've been the leading rider at Laurel before, but what would it mean to join a list that has Prado and Pino and Karamanis and Sheldon Russell on it, to be the leading rider at Colonial if you hold on to that lead throughout the last 6 days? What would that mean for you?
I mean a lot, to be honest, you know, because like you say, I just been leading rider here in Maryland. That it mean a lot because this is my home base. But you know, win a title another state, that would be really special, you know. Like I think will open up a couple more doors for me as a jockey. It's a really strong meet. A lot of good riders there. A lot of good trainers as well. I think will mean a lot because, you know, like. No, you know, I really never expect to be where I'm at right now. You know, this meet, you know, I always thought it was going to be a really tough meet to win. My AMB doing a really good job. We just try to get advantage in every single opportunity that we've been getting.
Well, good luck the rest of the way throughout the meet. That's all the time we have today for you. But good luck, and with all of the mounts that you have at Timonium, and just how busy you are, and it's good to be busy when you're a jockey. Make sure you drink plenty of water.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, everyone.
Great. Heavy in Toledo, an emerging star here at Colonial Downs. A little bit of a surprise coming out of the meet. You would not have guessed that Heavy in Toledo might have been the leading rider in 6 more days to maintain it. We're going to go to break on Off to the Races. On the other side, Frank Vespi will join us with Bill Reitler as he's living the dream. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
The leading sire of PA bred 2-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first ever Pennsylvania 2-year-old Stallion Series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season beginning September 16th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy hour racing every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock and on September 17th, it's free long sleeve t-shirt day. Own a horse for a day and win thousands of dollars. Shenandoah Downs, where admission and parking are always free and the races are family family friendly.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
More days, more money, more fun, Colonial Downs. More days, count them, 9 weeks of racing in 2022. More money, more than $600,000 in average daily purses. And Virginia bred, sired, and certified runners race for more money in our restricted program and bonuses in open company races. More fun, more turf racing than anywhere else in the country. And new this year, a low 12% takeout on the Pick 5. Colonial Downs, more days, more money, more fun. First post Monday through Wednesday, 1:45.
And we're living the dream with Frank Vespi here, and more money, more fun at Colonial, more water on the turf course. The sprinklers are out. Training is now over. Colonial Downs has been for a little while, and they are open at Timonium. And Frank hosted the signal yesterday, as he will throughout the rest of the meet. Frank, good morning. How did it go yesterday?
Well, good morning, Nick. It was it's opening day at the Big T. What's not to like? We had we had pretty much perfect weather. Some pretty interesting races. It was eventful, I gotta say. Anthony Ferrier swept the early double. We had a DQ in the feature, and we had a bunch of scratches, which led to a match race in the middle of the card. So a little bit of everything yesterday, and certainly looking forward to today, tomorrow, and next weekend. Timonium, a 7-day meet.
Bill Reitler, your guest that we'll have here in just moments, ask him one thing for me, because I'm hoping to get there here in the next 10 days or so. What is his recommendation for fair food? If you have the opportunity, please ask him that. Go ahead, take it away, Frank.
All right. Going to bring in Bill Reitler now. Bill, the director of racing at Timonium, the Maryland State Fair race meet. Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
How are we doing today at the Big T?
It's a beautiful summer morning, kind of cool, light 10-mile-an-hour breeze from the east. Not a cloud in the sky. Looks like it's shaping up to be a good day.
Now, for people who have never been to Timonium, and it is a fair meet, it's the only fair meet on the east coast. Hello? I can't hear Bill.
Okay, I can hear you.
All right, we're having live radio. We're having a little bit of a glitch. Did you tell us what the experience was like?
No, go ahead and repeat that question, please.
Okay, sorry about that. People who've never been to Timonium, it's a little bit different experience from most racetracks you're used to. Tell us what that experience, what the experience of Timonium is like.
Well, we think we like to think of ourselves as a great place for future fans to be able to come and enjoy the horses and the racing. We have over 500,000 people during the whole fair that come through the turnstiles. A lot of them go to the Midway, and so we're doing everything we can to encourage them to experience racing and hopefully, get us some new fans for the sport. But it's a great place. We give jockey club goggles to the kids, barn tours. Fran Byrne does a nice job of that. Just a really good, experience. Good food at Nick's Grandstand Grill. And then we have other vendors on the first floor. So it's a really fan favorite, great time of the year, and we race 7 days. And today is our college day. We have 95 college students signed up to win 11 $1,000 scholarships. And today is also the Timonium Distaff Stakes Day.
Now, you just mentioned Nick's Grandstand Grill. You might have heard my co-host Nick Hahn a minute ago asked for your recommendation for fair food. Do you have one?
Well, I know our general manager, there's a item on the menu called the Cashman Special, which is shrimp salad and tuna salad and a couple other things. Andy likes it so much, he named it after him. But, you know, it's all good. Plus, over on the Midway, there's all the stuff that my wife says is bad for you. You know, the fried Twinkies and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there's something here for everybody, and it's a great Maryland tradition. You know, racing at the fair started way back in the 1830s. Not at this site, but it did start at the 1831, I believe it was.
Talking with Bill Reitler, Director of Racing at Timonium and the Maryland State Fair. And I will just add to your food recommendations, Bill. Dave Rodman told me they have pickle pizza on the Midway, so might have to track that down.
Plus,
we got a horse in today at Timonium named Gherkin, so named for a pickle. So it all comes together around pickles today. Now, next week, you got the Hall of Fame Day. We're going to induct two new members of the Maryland Thoroughbred Hall of Fame, starred in NASCAR and Smoke Lack. And pretty neat that one of those horses sold at Timonium and the other one won a race at Timonium. So a really direct connection.
Right. One of the horses, John Williams, my former boss at Spendthrift Farm when I worked there in Kentucky, called me and he folded out, started NASCAR at Helmar Farm, Mr. Lucas's Helmar Farm, a Baltimore County farm. And it's Maryland has a great tradition with the Maryland breds and Maryland sired horses that have been raised here. It's a great thing.
You got any insights in today? Today's Timonium Distaff drew a field of 10. Interesting race.
Yeah.
Hopefully it holds together. You got any insights for us?
Well, I guess I'm a favorite of Malibu Beauty, Gary Capuano's horse. Although I just bought, in the October sale, I bought a half-sister to this horse by Cross Traffic that's in training right now. So that's my favorite. And that horse won a stake time before last. I think that would be one of the favorites. That's who I'm partial to.
Yep, Malibu Beauty certainly going to be a live contender. So, folks ought to come out to the fair. It is great fun. It's very different from going to Laurel or Pimlico in a good way, I think. What else, Bill? What else are you looking forward to over the next? We've got 6 of the 7 days still to come today and 5 more. So, what else are you looking forward to as we go forward?
Well, it's just a great time. You know, I encourage everybody to bring their children, come out and experience horse land over in the Midway. They'll enjoy that. They can pet a pony, and they give away stick horses, and you know, it's just a great thing all around, and something that everybody can really appreciate, and you know, a little something for everybody, the kids as well as the adults. And so it's a can't miss opportunity.
What do you think, you know, a lot of, there used to be fairs all over Maryland, used to be fairs all over the East Coast. You know, some of the guys who race down here are New Englanders who used to race at the fairs up there. Why has Timonium managed to stick with it while so many other fair tracks kind of fell by the wayside?
Well, I'd like to think part of it is, you know, naturally the dedication to the sport at Maryland State Fair is a large part of it. Also, the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, you know, and the trainers and horsemen that have supported us over the years, they enjoy the meet and they feel it's an important part of Maryland racing. And, you know, we've got a great great tradition here in Maryland. You know, we had a two-year-old in training sale here in May where we had, I believe it was over almost $40 million worth of horses sold. The top sale horse brought $1.55 million. So this has really become a great spot for racing as well as the sales. We have a sale complex here, too, for yearlings, and we have three sales a year, yearlings and mares and horses in training. So now it's a great place. It's a 101-acre campus right here in the heart of Timonium. And everybody's doing a great job. Andy Cashman, he's such a great general manager. Our chairman, Gary Brewster, and our president, Donna Myers. Our racing committee chairman, Bill Marlowe. There's nobody better at what he does.
All right. Bill Reitler, thank you so much for joining us here to talk about the Big T. Timonium started yesterday. Run 7 days, today, tomorrow, then next Friday through Monday. And Bill Reitler is the director of racing there. Bill, thanks so much. We'll see you at the track later on today.
And thanks for all you do for racing, Frank. You're a real treasure. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Nick, going to throw it back to you. That was Bill Reitler and talking about the Big T. Good stuff at the Big T.
Yeah, you'll have to buy him a Cashman special for that compliment there.
Holy smokes.
At the end. Yeah, how about that? Hey, it's true. You work Timonium. You'll be down here next week I think Virginia Derby Day. Working all of the Mid-Atlantic, been up in New Jersey a few times, and of course last night you were at Charlestown. How was Charlestown last night?
You know, it's a fun day because it's, you know, kind of Charlestown's chance to shine. And you know, so it's a fun evening. And, you know, one thing that I will say was very cool is, you know, Art Collector won. Bill Mott was there. Bill Mott came down for the race. He actually won two races on the day. He also won the Philly Sprint with Frank's Rockette. And it's neat to see a Hall of Fame trainer come down to Charlestown, you know, and that means something to people there. So it was really a nice day. And the horse Heavy on Road yesterday, A Lot of Hope, was very, very impressive in winning. Art Collector, of course. And the filly that won the Charlestown Oaks, whose name is getting away from me at the moment, was also very, very impressive. Very fast time. And Society, the Steve Asmussen horse, looked really good. She had butted up against Secret Oath and Nest last time out, and she's not quite that good, but she's pretty good.
I was reaching for it too. Your fingers are faster than mine. But yeah, well, great to see Charlestown. Just a busy time of year. And Frank, how about a Travers pick real quick before we get to Derby Bill?
You know, I've kind of been partial to Zandon for a long time, and maybe I'll just stick with that. It hadn't worked out, but maybe he gets a little bit better set up where he doesn't have to be kind of up on the engine this time. So I've been in with him for a while. Let's stick with him.
Okay, great. I think you'll get some concurrence a little later in the show. Frank, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun at Timonium.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Busy day ahead for Frank Vespi as he hosts the Signal at Timonium. Saw the crowd at Charlestown last night. It absolutely was a busy crowd. We talked a little bit about the stakes races coming up. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, including the overnight handicap on Tuesday, Virginia Derby Day, and some of the nominations are out for that. And one of the races I think that is really kind of shaping up is see how many of these horses actually start is this Camptown race, the $150,000 five and a half furlongs on the turf for fillies and mares. And just looking at the nominations, Big Lick has Cavalier Cupid, who won two races here last year. Puppy Monkey Baby is also nominated out of Big Lick, Sarah Nagel there. Karen Dennehy Godsey has Tea in China, a horse that has raced here several times, as well as R. Strong Val. Shambo is in this for Ty Aguirre, we've had on the show. So it's just really like that. That's one of the races that is really shaping up to be a great race. Looking today at Saratoga, some of the other, we talked a little bit about Conagher at the beginning of the show. Jackie's Warrior is running today at the Graveyard of Favorites. If Jackie's Warrior can pull this off, what will this do to his career? The four-year-old that has won 12 of his 16 starts. He's undefeated at Saratoga, 5-for-5. So no jinx so far for Jackie's Warrior. Going to be a big favorite in a Grade 1 four-go. Going to reach out here for Derby Bill, and I think I hear a little bit of music for him.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back.
So Derby Bill has got some horses today, it sounds like. Derby Bill, why are you going Old Town on us this morning?
Well, I tried to write that song before they came out with it, because Billy Ray Cyrus did a concert at Colonial Downs many moons ago. You were probably in the front row. So
didn't realize that. I'd forgotten that he was actually one of the artists that had performed here. That's a good pickup there, Derby Bill. Great choice for the intro here. What are your thoughts with let's maybe just start right there with the Travers, because we got just a full slate here. Saw your picks pop up here a little bit. I'll tell you what, let's start with this, because it's actually the reason I came out today. Damon's Mound went and worked out this morning, and Michelle Lovell really liked what she got out of the promising two-year-old. I placed the question to you, and I know you searched it wide and far, but Damon's Mound is probably the favorite for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at this moment. And 9 months ahead, that would also sort of make him the favorite for the Derby. It's a long way to go. But this horse, he just looked sharp and alert this morning, looked happy. And that's what you always want to see in the horses. What are your thoughts on Damon's Mound?
Well, I've liked him since the beginning of the first race he had. And I have a top 20 for the Kentucky Derby that I'll keep on file and search where they're going to run next and all this stuff. There's a couple running today that are, and there's one that I watched in Ireland run this morning for Charles Appleby and William Buick. So, you know, I study the two-year-olds and the three-year-olds because they're on, you know, my level. I'm a two-year-old and three-year-old freak. So,
hey, yeah. Somebody has to be the child in the room. You know how that goes. It does look like. Go ahead.
Yeah, Damon's number one ranked in Gulfport after beating Gulfport in the Saratoga Special. I've moved him up to number one. There's Newgate and there's Baffert's, an old Baffert horse, which he won't run in the Derby, but he'll be under somebody else. Eco again. There's a couple of them running overseas, and the Hopewell's the next one, you know, the Hopewell at Saratoga. I don't think Damon's is targeting that one. I like Damon's going to the Keeneland route. I mean, the Breeders' Cup Juveniles in Keeneland, so I like to see him go over there. I mean, and run, I think there's a prep race at Churchill, and then he goes to Keeneland. You lose me?
Hello?
Hello? Quiet Churchill on September 17th, the $300,000 race. It'll feature two turns. That's what she wants to as a next step forward for Damon's Mound. So that'll be right in the middle. It's midway spot between now and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So it kind of makes sense, and I think she, you know, just a great choice there. No sense going back up to to Saratoga, where you might lose, and then where are you? So, speaking of Saratoga, let's start with the Travers, which is the, by the way, Saratoga first race post time early today. I think it's 11:35. So, you know, if you're trying to get in on the Saratoga card early, the first race is at 11:35. The Travers, the feature race, is at 5:45, and a mile and a quarter. This has Rich Strike, who won the Kentucky Derby in very shocking fashion. It has Epicenter. I can't believe that's my pick and my favorite horse. I'm hoping this horse really comes through today. The one that is really a threat is Cyberknife, with Florent Giroux aboard, who drew the rail. And then you have the Preakness winner early voting, and you have Zandon as well. Artorias, Chad Brown, with three horses in this race. Obviously, some recent issues there. Kelly Von Hemel has Ain't Life Grand in this race as well. So, you know, the Travers, a great history, with Virginia horses through the years. What are your thoughts on the Travers today?
Yeah, it's rare you see the top three in the Kentucky Derby come back and run in the Travers. So you have Zandon, you have Epicenter, and you've got Rich Strike, and everybody's poo-pooing Rich Strike, which on a deep track they have at Saratoga. You know, I wouldn't poo-poo him out of the top four if you want to throw $10 supers on it, or dollar supers, or whatever you got in your bank. But I wouldn't toss him out totally, because he will be closing, and he has been seeing some closers. So I took Zandon. Obviously, big close in the Kentucky Derby wasn't enough. Your Epicenter is probably going to go off as 6-5 or less, maybe even money. Early voting and Cyberknife are a bunch of closers here. I took Zandon at 5-1 for value, plus the fact that the track is really different this year. Saratoga has never been this deep, and then they had rain yesterday, so we'll see how solid it gets by post time. They'll do their best, but I'm going to try for an upset with Zandon.
Lots been said about the pace of this race, that it really lacks pace. Maybe an opportunity for early voting to go out on the lead and maybe keep it there. Might be loose on the lead, as they say. That mile and a quarter might give you second thoughts about that. And, of course, Epicenter, he's the horse that had a little too much track in the Derby and not enough track in the Preakness, where he was making a move on early voting, got caught by Rich Strike. So maybe this is just his time. We're going to back up here and let's look at the Jerkins here, because it has one of our favorite jockeys, Joe Rocco, on Conagher. The Alan Jerkins is the eighth race on the card, 7 furlongs on the dirt for three-year-olds. Also in this field is Jack Christopher, who's going to probably be a big favorite in this race. Goodnight is also in this field, as well as like horses like Actuator and Happy Jack and Accretive. Very good race here. How do you assess Rocco and Tomlinson's chances to pull off a big price upset in the Jerkins?
Well, I'd love to see him win. They valued him at 7-2 in the morning line, which was respectable, but the one post is my concern and their concern. I talked to the Rock and the trainer there, and they didn't like the one post, especially with the torrential rain they had yesterday. It's really soft on the rail, so he's got to get off the rail somehow and get out. And doesn't really have the speed of, like you said, the Epicenter and early voting are like jackrabbits. They can get out. So I was worried about that a little bit. That's why I took Accretive on top, just in really good form coming in here for, you know, just a mild upset of Jack Christopher. And the only thing that I'm worried about, Jack Christopher should win if the surface doesn't get to him. But Conagher has a chance if he gets off the rail and gets out, and he's next to a horse that has him wearing blinkers. So just got to watch the early part of that race, Nick, and just pray.
We always pray. A lot of prayers are made coming out of the gate in almost any race. The Sword Dancer is the race right before the Traverse Stakes, a mile and a half on the inner turf there. They go around three turns here. And this race features Bill Mott, who had a nice night at Charlestown last night. An 8-year-old English Channel horse, Channelmaker, is in this group. Gafu, who won this race last year, I know he's one of your favorite horses. Then you got a Tribuvan, who pulled off a big upset in the Manhattan at a big price on the front end on the turf. Just this is like a race. Almost, I think they're trying to kind of encourage, I'm trying to remember that the Colonial Cup actually is a race they're trying to model and could feed into the Sword Dancer in upcoming years here at Colonial Downs. What are your thoughts on this group?
Well, it is a win and you're in Breeders' Cup race, so the winner gets to go to the Breeders' Cup. It's just no solid favorite in this race. This is a gambler's paradise here with every horse at least $10 horse in here. William Mott, you mentioned him, our go-between Silver Tree Orchard Park art collector of last night. Congratulations to him, by the way. 3-time Virginia Derby winner in Charlestown. That was a total opposite performance, as you'll see in this Sword Dancer last night. At art collector just blew him away. They did like $6.5 million handle last night, Nick, at Charlestown. $6.5 million.
Looked like a good crowd there if you're watching the video, too.
Hopefully they'll carry on, and the people that were winning on our collector will spend the money on this race, because Gufo is 9-2. When you get a horse like that, closing horse like that on turf, and the turf's a little bit soft from all the rain they had this week. Rock, Empire, and Channelmaker, all closers, and I think they'll be 10-1 here. You got $500 triple and you got $100 plus exacta here, Nick, in this race. Just this one's worth saving a few pennies for.
It's kind of interesting. This Travers card has sort of come up very similar to the Belmont Stakes card, where you had a lot of five-horse fields. And the Personal Ensign features five really good runners with Latruska and Clairiere, the big rematch of the Ogden Phipps and the Shuby, which were run at Saratoga earlier in the meet in Belmont. Malathat's in this group, Crazy Beautiful as well. Who wins the Personal Ensign?
Chris Linson is, I've got Latruska just coming back into form. They've been resting this horse, and he's well rested, and give him a big chance at 3-1 or more over Clairiere. Clairiere will be off as a favorite, and Mathal is tough, but like you said, it's a short field. There shouldn't be no traffic troubles for Latruska, and he's well rested, so I'm going to go with a value play there on Latruska.
And then real quickly, the Forgo features Jackie's Warrior, 5-for-5 at Saratoga. Will he get the half dozen?
No, my God, that horse is be like art collector last night. Just play him over top of everybody, all behind him, and pray it pays enough to buy you a funnel cake at the State Fair or something.
Cashman Special is what I heard.
Nothing in that race that can beat him unless, you know, he hits the gate or something.
Yep. Thanks for your picks there, Derby Bill. Want to thank everybody on the show. Habby in Toledo, Daryl Wood, Bill Reitler, Frank Vespi. Great job, James Flowers. We'll recap it all, this week's racing action, next week, 10 o'clock post time.